Hello, folks, and welcome to another episode of The Good Game Guys with your host, Dr. Captain.
That's him.
Hey,
oh, that's your line. TK, we have TKO here. We also have the very lovely Stephanie returning from the previous episode.
Hello.
You're not going to go ahead and fill us.
The Good Game Gal.
The Good Game Gal. And
go on today.
And unfortunately,
hello, Gohan, it's me, Mario.
Oh wow, we got the voice actors going off right now. And unfortunately, right now, a bit of unfortunate news. Deg is unable to join us because of illness. We don't necessarily know what it is. However, he feels he should be able
Captain,
to.
Dr. Captain, why are you lying?
He
ate too many mushrooms.
Oh Lord.
Oh.
Why'd you have to go there, man? Why did you have to go there? Anyway.
All of us here at the Good Game Guys are pulling for a swift recovery.
Pretty much. We're very much hoping for him to make a swift recovery, and he should, in fact, be back next week. Thankfully, here to take his place, we both have Seawall, who was with us, what was it, 2 weeks ago?
I think it was like 3 weeks ago, actually.
Yeah, when TK over here was attending the, what was that again, the fashion show? TKO, hello?
Yeah, it was a fashion show up in Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm. And also along with us, we have a bit of a friend of mine who probably knows his way around the gaming industry a little bit more than all of us, seeing as how, what would you say? Have you worked in, how long have you worked in it?
About 10 years.
About 10 years?
Both on the media as well as development side.
Right on. So we have Span here. Simply, Mr. Span. Or how else would you prefer?
Spam?
Well, I guess to give the 3-second version, I'm from Spain. I'm a Spaniard. Everybody calls me Span.
So,
and you're good on toast.
English
oh, wow.
is my second language. As you can see, I do not speak her very well.
So we have with us two guest hosts this week, and real quick, let's go ahead and just start things off as normal. TKO, what have you been up to this week?
What up? Well, I have been doing the current event that is going on in Star Trek Online. It's called the Mirror Universe event, where pretty much they're offering some pretty amazing rewards if you do it. It's something you have to do 14 times. So pretty much you do this little battle where you're fitting this Romulan space station, and these spatial rifts open up periodically, and a ridiculous amount of Mirror Universe Terran Empire ships come in and try to kill you and everyone who looks like you. After you do that like 14 times, you get 50,000 dilithium ore, 500 fleet marks, and 250 marks of your choice, and you also get this very rare duty officer. Like, if you play it on Elite, it's pretty extreme. It's like a 20-minute battle if things go right.
You get a goatee as well.
Other than that, say again?
You get a goatee as well.
My character already has a goatee, so I don't need that in the list of prizes.
What would the mirror version of the Trek universe be if someone already has a goatee in the normal universe?
Double goatee.
What does that make Will Riker?
Or the Hitler.
I mean, because we've seen Will Riker with his full beard and such, what would he be in the mirror universe exactly?
He'd be bald and ugly.
I was going to go with evil guy Scar and is stroking a Persian cat while on the bridge.
Wait a minute. Since
he would
womanizer.
Be bald and the beard would be on his head, but still like in the shape of if it was on his face, so he would have the mouth slot and everything, but on his head.
Since he's a womanizer in this universe, he'd be gay in the other universe?
He'd be a nerd.
Maybe. Dude, you know what? Will Riker in the mirror universe is Wesley Crusher.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
Abort this line of conversation.
We'll go ahead and move
on. Ready room, Dr. Captain, number one.
We'll go ahead and move on.
Bad insurance salesman.
And move on from that. So that's what TKO's been up to. Stephanie, hi there. What's up?
Hello.
What have you been up to?
On my end, unfortunately, I didn't get to do much gaming. However, I was doing a short that revolved around a gamer guy that had an issue with trying to talk to this girl and created like, this whole virtual like version of her. In the end, he ends up obviously caring for the actual version of her. However, during all of our breaks, I had a chance to sit down and talk with a bunch of gamers and kind of ask them what their favorite PC games were, because I actually don't play any computer games on the computer.
Heresy.
I know, it's really sad. I know. I'm definitely more of a PlayStation gamer, so I started asking a few questions about some, like, top favorites.
Casual.
So you guys can back me up. You guys can back me up, and, you know, hopefully all the listeners, too, can let me know which one I should be starting. And hopefully if they are Mac compatible, because I just got a MacBook. Please don't hate me. I know. Don't hate me anymore. But I got a few different ones I looked at were Team Fortress, yay or nay.
Yes.
Yay. Okay. Yes. TF2 is a yay.
Two yays. Okay. What about Gotham City Imposters?
That was interesting.
It's a semi-yay.
Yeah, it's all right.
What kind of game is that?
Okay, so we're going to just X-nay that one, unless the listeners think that I should be playing that game. You guys call in. Let me know. Then there's Fallen Earth.
I think that one's an A.
I haven't played it, so I can't give you an opinion.
Yeah, I've tried it myself, and it felt a little too chaotic at times.
What type of game is it?
Okay.
It's a free to play. It's an MMO.
Okay.
What about they said APR Reloaded. I'm not really sure what that is.
APB Reloaded.
What is that all about?
APB Reloaded, or All Points Bulletin Reloaded, is the kind of rebirth of a game that I used to play a lot of. Obviously called APB. It was an attempt to kind of do a Cops and Robbers, but for adults. I would say a nay until you're a bit more versed in the PC gaming world. It's got a pretty steep learning curve, I've noticed, and it's a game that unfortunately went pay to win.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
Gotcha. Though yeah.
It has an awesome car customization setup, though. I love it.
Personally,
character customization.
Oh God,
too.
It has Diablo camera. Never mind.
Personally, my recommendation will always be: I need more people to join Guns of Icarus.
That's not an MMO.
You remember when they were first showing off APB and they created what's his face from Nintendo in the character creator?
Miyamoto.
Yeah, they created Miyamoto in the character creator along with a Mario T-shirt.
Oh wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's how the character creator is.
Yeah, that's how I can vouch for the character creator. I've done some crazy stuff in it too.
Okay.
Fair enough. I also had StarCraft, which I believe we had mentioned that last week.
That's
right?
A classic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we did talk about that. And then Doom.
Which one?
School? Yeah, which one?
Doom 2.
Gosh,
yes.
It did not specify.
Doom 2. Yes.
Which
Doom
is the one
3?
That you guys think are best?
Well, I guess it's good to kind of start chronologically. Would you say Span? Span here is the Doom expert of us all.
Well, I mean...
Are you? Talk to me, Span.
I guess. There's about 10,000 different compilations of the entire Doom series you can get for a nickel on Steam, good old games, wherever. Nickel is hyperbole, but you get what I mean. You know, you spend a few bucks and you can get 5 different copies of Doom 1, 2, and sometimes they toss in 3. Get one of those, like, Ultimate Doom collections, and then you have just a very rich place to start with. You can pick what version you want to play. You can pick what mods you want to use, this, that, and the other. There's a lot to go with.
Mm-hmm.
Another one that I would recommend that I believe will work on Mac is consider getting a hold of the Half-Life series.
Ooh.
The original Half-Lifes. I've heard you can skip over Blue Shift, but some people love it.
Hey, Blue Shift wasn't bad.
Yeah. I definitely say play the original, then play the sequel and the episodes of the sequel.
Before doing the sequel, definitely want to play Opposing Forces.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That expansion pack was amazing.
Yeah. Opposing Forces, Ed? Okay.
That was the expansion pack to Half-Life 1.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. All right. And then, I mean, they mentioned a few others with Gary's Mod, Dark Souls, Fatal Frame, Eerie, Black.
One recommendation for Gary's Mod? I'd say stay the hell away from for now. I used to play Gary's Mod a lot. It's one of those games that you can mess around with it, but to get the maximum enjoyment out of it, you need more. You need to have be versed in a lot of PC. I'd recommend it to somebody who's played a lot of PC and loves creative games.
Gotcha. Okay.
Gary's Mod is a hell of a lot of fun. It's a virtual dollhouse, basically.
Yeah.
You know, you grab any characters from Half-Life and various other games on Steam, and you pose them in situations, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, like,
that's
entire
the vanilla
web
version.
Comics and video series on YouTube are based around Gary's Mod.
Let's not also forget some of the different game modes that are on there as well, like Trouble in Terrorist Town, I believe.
Yeah,
that too.
Yeah.
Prop Hunt, Death Run.
Going back to Half-Life really quick, if you want to play Half-Life 1, just do Black Mesa Source. That way, you know, you can get a up-to-date, prettier version of a classic game. Because a lot of people have that trouble getting past the older visuals.
Yeah.
Good back in the day.
Fair enough.
Quiet.
And then one game that I did just want to mention, which I know it's been out for a little while, but I just was talking about it a lot more, was Limbo. I don't know if you guys are a fan of that game or not, but...
Is that the one where you play as the shadow of the kid?
Yes, like a little kid, and he's just a shadow, and he's got the creepy little eyes.
It's not my cup of tea, but a lot of people like it, so... I'm not a platformer, sorry. I'm not a 2D platformer. My first console was a PS2.
I really like that game, and it might be also, you know, the fact that it's got all the different puzzles and everything in there, but just the whole, like... The whole feeling that you get from that one game is, it's beyond belief, you know? And then just, anyways. Or like, I don't know if you guys have played it, you know, and there's the part where there's the spider and you think you're pretty much dead and you have to escape the spider as you're like in a cocoon. I mean, just the way that it is, it's done so simply. It's really, really, really simple, but at the same time, it just like, it kills you inside.
That just sounds like it's playing way too much into my fears right there. I'm going to openly admit it.
Well, the developers know. The developers know that people love spiders and they love the dark.
If you love platform puzzle games, that's a game for you. But I'm a guy that I can't get beyond 2D graphics. I'm sorry, you know, heresy for gamer. I got trouble with 2D and older 3D graphics.
It makes up for it in all the feeling that you get in there. I mean, it's not just the graphics, you know, and it being just 2D. I mean, it really takes you to another place, and especially if you plan on playing this by yourself in a room in the dark. I mean, man, I'm telling you, it's like all those childhood like thoughts.
You want a recommendation if you want a game that's going to scare you in the middle of the dark. Like I'm a little afraid to bring this one up just because of how overplayed it's been, but definitely give Amnesia a look.
Oh God.
Like you want to get scared, play that game.
Here's another game that I would recommend. If you want to get your mind like really fucked with, play Minecraft with no light, just a computer screen, and have the music playing. I swear to God, the game will fuck with you. I'm serious.
Oh yeah, it will.
I don't think 8-bit's gonna scare me. I mean, you know, I don't find anything.
You're on your own in a world where you're the only sentient life.
It's 8-bit.
Give it enough time, the music will get to you. The music will get
hearing.
You.
That's compatible, though.
Hmm?
Are these Mac compatible?
I believe Minecraft is Mac compatible, but I'm not sure.
A decent amount of those, I think, are Mac compatible, but in all honesty, you should really get yourself a gaming PC.
Listen,
custom
built.
You can play plenty of games on a Mac
for
the PC compatibility.
Entertainment industry requires me to have a Mac. So.
Well, sure. But it's...
Well, no, actually, wait, hold up. There is a way, well, depending on how big her hard drive is, where she can partition part of her hard drive to run Windows software.
I guess that is
that
true.
Earlier.
Oh, yeah, you know what, that is true.
Yeah.
So there is at least that. Yeah. So, all right, cool, that's what you've been up to, and hey, I hope we managed to help give out some gaming recommendations out for you, Stephanie.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to getting my, like, ass totally scared, so I'm definitely...
Well, that kind of gives us a perfect segue. Do you want to go into the game now? Because it's a pretty good segue to the next thing.
Star Trek Online, Stephanie.
You know what? Actually, I think that is a pretty decent enough segue. Because honestly, I haven't really done much. I don't have a great enough story to top off that amazing moment I had last week in Guns of Icarus.
Yeah.
That one I just had to make a dutifully pose.
Oh, actually, I have a top. I've won the top. Your Guns of Icarus one.
Okay. I'm curious to hear it, but how fast can you go through it?
All right. So long story short, I was playing, guess what? Star Trek Online, right? That's so me and my crew, we're handling this Borg ship, right? I mean, we're playing one of these Borg missions. And then we destroyed the gateways. This Borg tactical cube comes up, right? Now I'm in a Klingon. I'm like, all right, son, let's do this. So I'm going at the tactical cube. Tactical cube's firing at me. Everyone's firing at the tactical cube. Tactical cube is almost about to destroy me. So I engaged ramming speed, okay, and hit that thing dead on. Right as I hit it, the whole freaking cube exploded and everything. It just blew. I was like, yeah, son, I killed you with my face. With my face.
Perhaps today is a good day to die.
Today was.
Anyway.
I killed a Borg cube with my face.
With your forehead, you mean?
Yes, with my forehead.
So let's go ahead and take this moment to segue ourselves into a bit of a news segment. Now, sadly, again, because Deg isn't here, we're not really going to be able to offer you as great of a news segment as Deg is capable of pulling off.
Well, so, hey, it's all good, though, because we're going to go into that one she-devil woman.
Yeah, we'll get to her in a moment. In fact, actually, I think this kind of helps us give us some time to get
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
we'll
with that said,
got to put her on trial.
Yeah. So with that said, one of the things I am even saying this is something I'm essentially hyped about. There's a game coming out on May 22nd that'll be on the Steam Early Access called The Forest. Now, for anyone out there that hasn't had a chance to check out the trailer, by all means, please do so, because this game. Okay. So we're all familiar with the different types of Rust, Daisies, every other sandbox survival game out there, which essentially is just, here you are, you're plopped in the middle of a land, go survive.
Garry's Mod Survival.
Yeah, Garry's Mod Survival. And it follows a little bit of that same trope. Really, The Last of Us? I don't think that really...
It's surviving.
Well, sure, it's surviving.
It's more of an adventure game, less of
Whoa.
A survival simulator.
I'm sorry, Span, go ahead.
I think a great way to describe it would be basically, oh crap, just completely lost my train of thought for a second. Oh, there we go. Minecraft meets the movie The Descent.
Ooh, yeah. I think
Minecraft
that...
plus the movie The Descent.
And you want to know...
That right there is the game in a nutshell.
And you want to know something that just sounds even more amazing? Is that this game is going to actually support the Oculus Rift.
Well, native support. There's over 300 games, from what I've heard, that support the Oculus Rift.
Oh, sure.
A lot of them are mods or third-party add-ons to the game. But this is one of the few, I think there's only maybe a dozen or so, I'm not 100%, that support the Oculus Rift native. So when you want to talk about horror games, immersion, the name of the game, and the Oculus Rift might get a pretty big boost from this.
Definitely.
And then when you take a horror game of this, you know, caliber and add native Oculus Rift support, you got to add the diaper microtransaction.
Because you'll just lose it, man. Uh-oh.
Yeah, as I said earlier to you guys, this game will single-handedly fund the college education of every therapist in America, at least.
Oh, man, considering some of the creatures and stuff in there, I mean, dude, I've been kind of waiting for a game to really start going on the Lovecraftian setting for quite some time.
Hey, Steffi, you back with us? I noticed you disconnected for a second.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm back on. I got lost there. I'm on the East Coast, so I'm sorry about that, guys.
The Cthulhu monsters got to her, man.
Oh, no!
Okay, guys. Go on, still here.
Go on. What the hell? Dodge!
Oh. Anyway, so yeah, I mean that was just one of the things that kind of interests me as well, despite the fact that it's going to be a survival horror game that supports Oculus Rift. I mean, could you imagine the immersion that is going to be put inside that kind of a game?
No, I got the survival horror game. You, in your bedroom, My Little Pony ponies attacking
you.
Oh,
God.
You to pet them and give them loves.
Oh,
oh my God.
Don't ruin My Little Pony. Don't ruin My Little Pony,
no,
man.
TKO, you go sit in the shame corner. Don't bring that shit up.
But guess what? You have to kill them by using various weapons you find throughout the house.
Where can I shut off his microphone?
Actually, since you're hosting, you can drop him.
Oh, yeah, I probably could, couldn't I? Huh?
I know where you live.
I know where you live, too, buddy.
But I'm
what
more
else?
Dangerous than you are.
Okay, wait, are you guys threatening each other or coming on to each other right now?
I'm threatening violence.
Ladies, shut up. You're both pretty.
Oh,
shucks.
Wow.
And then they both turn on Seawall.
I know. I'm plotting his destruction right now. I'm having my satellites zero in on him right now.
Oh, you mean the satellites that I put in orbit for you?
Oh, no, the ones I built myself with toothpicks and hope.
Anyway. So, but yeah, just to kind of get back on the subject, I mean, that honestly sounds like an immediately awesome game that I look forward to the day it comes out.
And it looks better than day one, the Gary incident.
Oh, yeah. And let's not also forget that, you know, drama that happened in the background, which, you know what, we may actually try and cover on another week. But for now, I think we'll save that.
Drama?
Yeah, there was some drama with the... Oh, man, we keep losing Stephanie here for a moment.
Yep.
Yeah. Your internet is hiccuping.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
We'll probably have to deal with it for now.
Are you talking about the Total Biscuit drama? Stream.
Yeah, some of the Total Biscuit drama that wound up happening with it, where the developer essentially tried to flag his video after giving a harsh review on it.
When they gave him permission to make it to begin with?
Exactly.
Yeah, they sent him a reviewer copy, didn't they?
Yes, they did. And then they said they didn't, and then there's the emails, and it's like, well, those are faked emails, and I don't know what you're talking about. Where's a window I can dive out of?
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, he tried to Family Guy it. Gotcha.
Defenestration would be too good for people like that.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
So,
and that is your word of the day, everyone. Defenestration, the act of throwing something out a window.
I thought it was throwing oneself out of a window.
Defenestration.
Or being thrown.
Just being thrown or
back.
Throwing something out of a window.
Stephanie, you back?
Yeah, sorry.
Adorableness?
Yeah, sure. Stephanie,
hold on.
Stephanie,
I might be able to help.
I mean, she's being hacked.
Nah.
You think so?
I don't know.
I got the Mac for some reason.
Yeah, Bill Gates is after you now.
Uh-oh.
You should have praised the hell out of PC, because what's Apple going to do? Steve Jobs is dead now.
I still love PCs. I absolutely freaking do. And my brother hates, like, every being of himself that I have a Mac, okay?
Okay, this is what Apple's going to do with Steve Jobs gone. Either go down in a burning wreck, which would have happened if he stayed around, or it's going to turn into Microsoft and be profitable.
Sure.
Sustainably profitable. I'm sorry.
He's turning a profit right now.
It does have a profit. It's just one of those things that if you've seen the profits of Apple, they spike and drop like crazy, and they've had a trend of going downward overall for years. Like, the higher they go, the farther they fall.
Oh, damn.
Do I have to even mention the look and feel lawsuits of the 90s, which nearly bankrupted Apple, which took Microsoft, the guy they were suing, to keep them from going under?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wasn't Apple for the longest time subsidized by Microsoft so Microsoft would not have to deal with antitrust?
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly. It's essentially Apple owes pretty much a lot of its success to Microsoft keeping it around.
So, all right. So now that we have the forest and we actually got this bit of information, or this interesting information about Apple and such, like, I don't know if anybody here actually knows it, the other history behind it. Span, I understand that you have a story you wanted to bring up. We were having ourselves a discussion during the pre-show, and Span brought up an interesting topic that's going on as far as gaming is concerned. Let's go ahead and take the floor.
Hot dogs, should we stop eating them? Are they poisonous?
What?
No,
treasonous words! Treason!
No, I love hot dogs. That's not the story.
I know what goes into them. I can't eat them.
Ooh.
Yes.
I'll do the
basically,
turkey dog.
I'm sorry?
No, I said I'll have a turkey dog.
There you go.
I'll
sleep with my tri-tip.
For me.
But anyway, Span, by all means, please continue.
Okay, go ahead. Go,
well,
go ahead,
basically, Dark Souls 2 has just been released to rave reviews. I mean, it is a good game. Nobody's going to deny or debate that. Great game, great developer, great franchise. But there is something that's been kind of lighting up the message boards all across the internet. The fact that the final product kind of doesn't look anything like the previews leading all the way up to the day of release. And basically, the entire development process, they'd been touting and showing off and bragging about this all-new lighting engine that they'd come up with, and this lighting engine fed into brand-new game mechanics and this, that, and the other. And all the way up to release, they were showing off this game that had that lighting engine, and then the game releases, and
amazing.
That entire lighting engine had been stripped out. And
it reminds me of what happened with Half-Life 2, but in reverse. Instead of getting more advanced technology, it's cutting back on the tech.
Right, and basically, while I'm talking about this, I'm just linking a GIF right here so that my fellow hosts can take a look at the difference between the demo and the release, and I want your guys' opinion on the difference in graphics. It's right there in our comment section. Tell me what you guys think.
And I've seen this previously before, and honestly, I think it's a little on the despicable side, especially since this is something that happened previously with Aliens Colonial Marines.
Well, oh, that's yeah. That hey, is Doc, a bit of a different
for
situation.
For the fans to see?
I'm sorry.
I'm asking if you could put that up where so the fans can see it, too.
Describe it. It goes from actually a fairly colorful environment, where you actually see like these dynamic shadows and stuff like that, to a very gray monotone environment.
It's like
no
if they
shadows whatsoever, right?
Yeah.
It's like they intentionally like just downgrade the graphics to minimal settings for some strange reason.
Oh,
let that come about?
I'm going to go a little further into it. Well, basically, this whole time, one of their big selling points was this new lighting engine, and how, with the lighting engine, they have their torches, and like there's areas where you need a torch to be able to see, and you have the sconces that you can light, and then there's the trade-off of do you want to see the enemies that you're fighting, or do you want to be in the dark with the shield because you can't hold a torch and a shield at the same time? And what it seems like is at one point they realized, crap, this dynamic lighting is tanking our frame rate, so we're going to have to scale it back a little bit. The game is still a great game. The graphics just aren't as good as they promised. And the thing is it's not like a few months before release they started showing the final build or made some kind of announcement like, sorry, guys. No, a month before release, they had like a 15-minute gameplay demo that showed off all these graphical bells and whistles still, and then the game released. And the thing is like a month before release, you're going gold pretty much at that point. You need to print the game and get it on the shelves. So it's not like after that they suddenly realized, holy crap, we can't do this anymore. We need to scale it back. So they knew at some point. And they just never said anything about it. And so that's where people are getting really bothered by the fact that it's basically they showed off this one product, the entire development process, and then stealth released something different.
Wow. I'm thinking this was probably – you said it was up to a month. Do we know exactly when they pulled it out, though? Because for all we know –
No idea. And that's the thing. We want to know – we want to know what's going on, and there have been people reaching out to the company on Twitter and sending emails and whatnot, and the company said, we're going to make a statement. And so people are, oh, good, they're going to address this. The company made a statement last night, which basically consisted of, game development is a very tricky prospect. We gotta balance our games to the best of the ability of both graphics and gameplay, and we're proud of the game that we made. The end.
I'm gonna cut through some of the corporate bullshit, tinfoil hats, guys, because this might not be true. There was probably a fatal error with the lighting system that made the game unplayable at some point. Area that just completely fucked the computer over.
Hey, that is a complete possibility. Not going to discount that.
Say something, though, and, take ownership for that.
Well, the thing is, they're embarrassed about it because they were touting this engine. They were hyping it up so much.
Absolutely.
And I don't set out to
demonize developers, but the truth of the matter is there was even a beta stress test, a network stress test that they put out. So people had played this game. They had played the prettier version on their systems before the game came out. So the game didn't even look as good as the beta.
Wow.
They were showing off, and some of the people defending the company are like, well, this game is multi-platform, and it could have just been that the entire time they were showing off the PC version, and, you can't expect, and it's reasonable, you can't expect the console version to look as good as the PC version, and I agree with that, except for the fact that the developers are, at trade shows going, this is playing off a PS3, yep, that's a PS3, see it right there in the glass case? That is the system that you are playing it off of right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this probably was 11th hour backpedaling. There's no way, unless they're going, oh, God, unless somebody really screwed up in marketing or PR and made the
a pretty bad judgment call earlier on. This has to be either very last minute, or they were scrambling for that last month to fix the problem and they couldn't, so they had to admit defeat.
Well, you know, even then on that certain level, I kind of have to agree with Stephanie a little bit. Like, how come there hasn't been like an open acknowledgement to the situation and just an outright apology from the developers?
I mean, the developers, they should, you know, do the whole forgiveness, please, and say they're sorry. And mind you, you know, from the standpoint of a game developer, it's a really difficult position to be in. It sucks.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard. The last thing you want to do is admit fault for anything. But, you know,
certainly it has to be.
Could they not say that they got to a certain point in the game and then it just kind of screwed up at a certain point, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they didn't have the capabilities. They just didn't want to screw everyone's gaming over, you know, in the long run.
And just explain
yourself.
And honestly, I even have to bring up, like, it just outright, you know, being the apologetic company and stuff like that, it certainly has to be better than the alternative where, again, going back to Aliens Colonial Marines right now, where apparently who here, by the way, is still keeping their finger on the pulse by this, by the way, about how there was a lawsuit of I'm trying to bring it up. It was a lawsuit against Sega and Gearbox at the time where they were basically trying to sue them for false advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I remember hearing about
those
that,
are
yeah.
never
While
good
you
suits.
Are talking about that, I'm actually going to link a couple more images to our fellow hosts of this whole thing that we were talking about, just because I would adore to see some reactions from this.
Again, tinfoil hat from
you know
the
what?
Studio.
We're going to go ahead and let Span do that real quick, but for now we're going to go ahead and take ourselves a quick little commercial break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Charles D. Watkins of HavanaWatches.com. HavanaWatches.com provides the highest quality for a great price. HavanaWatches.com offers a range of models, including chronographs, mechanical, silicone plastic, and in tungsten steel. HavanaWatches.com provides stylish features. Our top-to-bottom one-year warranty is one of the best in the industry. All of our models come to you in our custom-designed wooden gift boxes. We have both Swiss and internationally designed models. HavanaWatches.com has been creating high-quality watches since 2004. Our executive staff has over 18 years of watch experience. I myself was the past president of Whitnor Watches International. We are American owned and operated. Our goal is to provide you with a watch you are proud to wear. We want to be your preferred watch brand in the United States. See our styles at HavanaWatches.com. Find watches exclusively for you.
And we're back. So right now, Span went ahead and posted us these pictures, and we'll go ahead and post these up on the Span, I believe you could help us put this on the Facebook page, right?
Yeah, we can talk about it after the show. And to give full credit where credit is due, I did nab these pictures from NeoGAF. NeoGAF is the gaming forum that has been talking about this. They're like up to 65 pages of discussion just on this graphical downgrade.
Oh, wow. Yeah, wow. I've definitely seen like the differences, and I got to say, it's kind of disgusting from my end.
It's like PS2, PS3, difference. PS2, PS3.
Yeah. But I, as I was saying in the break with you guys, that I'm thinking they hit a point of no return, and they were worried that the game wouldn't sell well enough, like the company might take a huge loss. Like, you know the old saying, it's better to ask forgiveness than ask permission, but then you guys brought up, why haven't they asked for forgiveness yet? So there may be something going on. They maybe, for all we know, they're trying to, like, make a surprise, we fixed it, patch,
mm-hmm.
at some point. And
hopefully a patch will happen.
And a lot of gamers are saying basically, hey, you know what, the PC version is still a month out. If the PC version looks as good as it's supposed to, we'll come halfway and forgive them partially at least. And to be perfectly honest, I want to tell the gamers out there that are interested in the game, if you are interested in Demon's Souls 2, it is a good game still. It is a fantastic game. Don't let this turn you off to buying the game unless you want to make a point to the developers about being lied to and saying, you know, I don't feel that developer and publisher dishonesty is something that I want to abide by and support. That is the only reason you should not buy this game. Mm-hmm. If you just want a fantastic game and don't care about the graphics, then still buy it.
Yeah,
definitely. And
rent it.
Sounds like we may actually have to. Sounds like we may have to have another fan movement going on. Is that right, Stephanie? How is that fan movement against Dread Fox right now?
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. Uh-oh.
All right,
he
guys.
He pushed a button.
What are we doing?
Okay. All right, so...
Wait. Jason.
Yeah?
I got this.
Okay.
Unleash the Stephanie!
Damn it, the foxholes aren't built yet.
That's perfectly
fine. Okay, cover!
That's perfectly fine.
I mean, we can make a movement here, too. We can either make a movement to go ahead and boycott the game and let them know how we are unhappy with the fact that they should still be pretty honest to their fans, you know? And, yes, if you're going to screw up, and, yes, it's a pride issue and all that stuff, totally understandable. Just come out clean, you know, at least now.
Exactly.
It looks pretty dirty, you know? So, yeah.
Anyway.
All
the graphics look dirty.
We have to downgrade the graphics because if we didn't, it would have screwed up the frame rate for certain platforms and provide so many glitches that the game might be unplayable. So we toned the graphics back. We're sorry. That's all they would have to say.
You know what we would say? Oh, it's okay, man. Okay. Next time around.
Stephanie, honestly, like, so there would still be people pissed off. Like, how dare you? But you know what? At least the company can stand up and say we were honest about it and forthright.
Yeah, you know what? That even though that would be technically bad PR in the short run, in the long run, that would show that they are an honest company, and that would probably get them more fans. Sure, they'll lose some, but those fans are people that you really don't want as your own fans.
That's bad PR, but what would you say is
in the
worse
short run.
PR? Lying or honesty?
Yeah, not
all
only do they
PR
have...
PR is good PR.
Well, no, not only do they have bad PR in the short term,
they've got long-term
bad PR that they're going to have to deal with.
Stephanie?
Yeah.
EA.
Your
PR is not good in any way, shape, or form.
I think TKO
death
just
to EA.
I think
this message brought you in part. This message brought you in part by the death of EA subscription.
Oh man, I think
you know what?
I think
EA
TKO
looks
just,
like it might
three-peat
on that worst company in America award. What do you guys think about that?
They need new management, or they need to be dissolved and have their IPs given to other people. So, somebody call in the equivalent of child services for intellectual properties, please, for God's sake.
Game services.
I think the fact that they are on the running for the third year in a row kind of is a little ridiculous. Like at this point, it's like, you know what? Give them a lifetime achievement award for being a shitty company, and let somebody else win it at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
they're
actually
environmental destroying companies.
Well, the thing about that is the environmental destroying companies, they're kind of being dicks about the environment and everything, but at least they're being somewhat honest about it.
Hey, don't mess with our video games.
essentially just that.
And also there are protections against those companies. We do have things like the EPA. Not all people agree with what the EPA does, but at least they can fight back. The fans...
Dude, we can only fight back so hard.
You are
a genius. We need to come up with the GPA.
Okay.
Hold on.
TKO, you get started on that Kickstarter right now, and see where that goes. Anyway.
Congressmen and say we need to protect the environment and video game sanctity.
All right, TKO.
Make sure you get all your copyrights for everything.
Well, TKO, if you created the GPA, then EA would be on academic probation.
Anyway.
Also, please shut down Activision Blizzard, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Don't throw Blizzard under the bus.
Man, you guys. Just getting all vicious out there. Wow. Save that stuff.
I know. What is going
on? And lady. Save that stuff, because right now we need to move on to the real topic at hand that we've been hitting at for at the past week. No, actually.
You mean the one that Stephanie's been holding all her chakra.
Can we introduce
this
topic with the Imperial March?
Okay.
I wish we could.
Before we get into this,
I wish we could.
We need to lay some ground rules here first, guys.
Sure.
The person we were talking about, I can't pronounce her last name, but I think you can pronounce it, Dr. Captain, a lot better than I could.
Anita Scarzini.
Yeah,
Ding-dong.
Everyone here does not condone any of the death or rape threats that have been sent against her. No human being on this planet deserves anything close to that.
Exactly. I mean, come on.
By Hitler.
And
Hitler, come on.
Guys, we need to put on our serious cast right now.
This is a
very hot-button issue.
Yes. This is
cap has glitter on it.
And let's make this very clear. People, we don't appreciate when other people go out and say, you know, you should go die, or I hope you get raped, or something like that.
It's never, ever, ever, ever cool, okay, to ever bring up the R word no matter what,
mm-hmm.
okay? I'm just going to throw it out there right now. Just don't do it, guys. It's really inappropriate no matter how much, you know, you think whatever she's done is wrong and you don't agree with her. Just please, death, rape, not cool, ever, not all right.
Exactly. Period.
This is a girl saying it, so it's double valid.
It's pretty much, man.
I'm just saying, it's coming from a female here. I'm just letting you know.
So let's go ahead and start things off right now. So Anita Skorzeny. Now, for those of you that
Sarkeesian.
Thank you.
Kardashian.
Sarkeesian, yeah.
So for those of you that don't know who she is, we'll try our best to give you like a quick rundown on who she is exactly. She is essentially. See, I don't really want to say feminist because that just kind of bastardizes the word a little bit in my view.
That's how she describes herself.
You know what? You have to admit a few of the groups that are kind of lauded as feminist groups do act a lot like her.
Okay, wait.
Extreme feminist
is the best word to use.
Okay.
I'm a feminist and I am not an extremist. So.
There you go. Like,
extremist feminist. There we go.
Extremist feminist right there. I would say she's an extremist feminist who basically hosts her own shows on YouTube, Tropes vs. Women and Tropes vs. Women in Video Gaming, where essentially she'll have like very extremist points of views, albeit some where even I personally have to kind of sit back and admit, yeah, sure, here and there you got some decent points, but we'll save those for another topic.
You can throw 100 darts at the dartboard, one of them's going to hit the bullseye.
Sure.
Okay. I prefer the blind squirrel analogy.
What? Explain.
A blind squirrel will eventually find a nut.
Yeah. Or a broken clock is right twice a day.
Yes, exactly.
There you go.
Yeah.
And okay. that's
the analogy podcast.
Yes. And essentially, it's just like some of the things that she brings up just seems to be a little on the too extreme side, especially for my particular taste. Mostly like one of her videos that I took the time to watch was the Damsels in Distress, where she blatantly tries to attack the trope of being the damsel in distress. Now, folks, you all know what the damsel in distress is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what are you guys' thoughts on that? Let's actually take the time and discuss this. And real quick, by the way, before we start this, call or listeners, you by all means have every right to chime in. And the way you guys can chime in is you can call us at 914-338-1303. Or, hey, why don't you add us on Skype? Add us on Skype at the Good Game Guys 1. That's Good Game Guys, the number 1.
Though anyway. We do want to, again, preface this by those who are coming on to yell at us saying that we are sexist, that we are doing this. We are not, as we said before, we're not condoning this, so please come with an open mind.
Please, by all means.
Come with your opinions, but come with an open mind.
Exactly. That's all we ask for. Fair, honest debates.
Okay.
So, let's go ahead and start leading this off. A damsel in distress. What exactly is that to you guys? I mean, should be pretty obvious.
A lady in trouble.
Pretty much. And
yeah.
It's been a thing that's been kind of dated around even back into the medieval era as far as storytelling.
Well, I think it goes even back into Grimm's fairy tales, which are still told to this day.
Thousands of years back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's ingrained in multiple cultures.
Guys, honestly, it goes back millions of years, probably to caveman time.
Wouldn't surprise me, but
timetable not quite right there.
It does. Now, one thing that I will have to bring up, since we are going to do this whole... We're doing this in a fair manner. I'm going to bring up some opinions on that. Now, when they do talk about damsels in distress, one thing that I'm not sure if you guys have noticed, but usually a damsel in distress is always a very beautiful young woman and is usually being, persecuted or is being, attacked by some sort of villain. But if you notice, it's always a beautiful young woman who seems to be incapable of helping herself, period.
Yeah. And I think we can all agree that unless you're doing a very simplified story, that is not a good
almost
basis
always,
for a complex one.
Not even just that. It's not always the case.
Yeah.
In fact, actually, I'll agree with the initial feminist point of view that it shouldn't necessarily just be a hot girl. In fact, I even go as far as to say, sometimes a guy should be a damsel. I mean, because let's be honest, there are some guys out
there. Saving Private Ryan?
Ooh, there you go. That's a damn whole story right there.
My question for that
actually,
is, my question would be, in a realistic scenario, what situation would a guy, we'll say the average guy, average build and average strength and whatever, what situation could he get into where a girl would be able to get him out of it? Now, if I'm getting jumped by, you know, three or four dudes, I don't see the average female actually coming and saving me.
Okay,
unless she's
hold
passing
on a second.
Automatic
Aaron.
Listen, we have not all hung out together. I'm just saying, if you get in a situation where three guys are trying to jump you, I got your back.
Yeah, remember, come on, this is Laura Croft incarnate right here, man.
As a writer, like how you would have, I mean, like what scenarios, like you say, like okay, where Anakin Skywalker needs Padme to come save him?
Didn't he actually?
Think about like the Hunger Games. Think about the whole Hunger Games series. You know,
lot of strong female roles.
Yeah, there are strong female roles. But
that's honestly the one thing that kind of bugs me so far, because according to Anita's point of view and some of the videos she points out and such, there just doesn't seem to be such a thing as a strong female role.
Any strong female role is like invariably somehow in a roundabout way misogynistic, albeit if it's like the Miss Man trope where, oh, well, she's just a palette swapped male and that's why it's misogynistic and because
she doesn't have an
identity of her own. What?
I'm sorry, that argument kind of falls flat when you use Pac-Man and Miss Pac-Man as an example.
By the way, for the sake of the audience, this is what Anita has done in her video.
Oh, and speaking of which, I forgot. Wait, the most badass female that I currently know of is not actually Laura Croft. It's, what's her name, from Perfect Dark. What's her name?
Joanna.
Joanna Dark. She is amazing.
Yeah. And you know what? That right there. That's another prime example that
there is a strong female lead that some people do point to that aren't as extreme as Anita here. But the thing is, I call them characters in a vacuum. It's a character that has no emotional attachments whatsoever. They're just a badass. They're a Mary Sue.
Huh.
There's nothing behind them. It's like all they are is just, and that would actually be a good example of the palette swapped, because you see a lot of male characters portrayed as that, where they don't have any real emotional ties to anything. You don't see them show emotions. They're just there to kick ass.
Because those characters have usually been through some shiznit. Like Master Chief, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Master Chief, he has emotions. They're subtle, but it's hard to notice.
Very, very subtle, though. Very, very, very.
I'm talking
subtle.
About the ones that literally you do not even see subtlety.
Dr. Manhattan subtle.
Like who?
That there's no subtlety of like feminism whatsoever. Now, hold on, just to go back on Joanna Dark too. Can we just bring up the fact that usually she's in scantily clad clothing?
Well, she is also a secret agent. Isn't that kind of necessary?
Yeah. Look at. Okay. Look at everything that she's wearing.
Yeah, look at Solid Snake, look at Raiden, look at Sam Fisher.
No,
he wears pretty much the same.
Naked.
Look at James Bond. Even though he's in a tuxedo, that is still a little wrong dress for what he's doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like.
I don't know. I mean, I'm gonna have to say, I think what it is that she's coming up with the fact is that there's just less clothing that needs to be there. You know,
Stephanie, I agree with you in the fact that, you know, just to summarize the whole issue, we think that the idea of what she's doing is good. You know, this is an issue that needs to be addressed and talked about. We just think that somebody else would be better at it. And
her intentions aren't
pure.
Our
personal opinion, there are other feminists, other female gamers, and other female developers that just cannot stand her, to the point that I have seen videos and articles and websites by female gamers and developers and whatnot literally picking apart piece by piece nearly every non-smack-you-over-the-head obvious point that she makes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And just going, you know, this is wrong because of this, this is wrong because of that, this is wrong because of that. And one of them, like one of the most amazing arguments I ever saw, basically showed how her arguments were so poorly constructed that they actually made her sound like the misogynists that she was trying so hard to point out.
Oh, interesting that you bring that up, because honestly, at a certain point when you start getting into a lot of behind-the-scenes actions that she's gotten herself into, that's not very far from the truth.
Yeah. She has a few points, but her intentions are not pure.
And let me go ahead and actually take this to lead into the initial reason why I decided to step in and even bring attention to her. Because honestly, I think we can all agree, under normal circumstances, we would never talk about her because we don't want to draw much attention to her. Could we agree to that?
Yes.
We can agree to that, yeah.
I'll take a line from Mr. Tuvok. I'll just allow her own illogic to overwhelm her.
Oh, there you go. That's very Vulcan of you. That's nice to hear.
Mm-hmm. Live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper. Right?
See, well, you're going down after the show. Meet Space Dock number 4, son.
Hold on, TKO. Hold on.
Sorry.
Hold it,
sorry.
TK.
So with
Simmer
that
down.
Said, the reason
Simmer
why
down.
I even personally decided to actually try and dedicate an episode, specifically talking about Anita for a moment, was because she got caught essentially stealing different artwork. I'm a little skeptical to say stealing, but at the same time,
without permission.
Lifting?
Yeah, there we go, lifting.
Well, here's the thing.
Infringing?
You say you're hesitant to call it stealing, but she didn't just take the artwork and use it. She took the artwork, she cropped out the signatures, she removed the background. She basically Photoshopped the hell out of it.
Yes.
She made it so it was unrecognizable as the originator's work without somebody who knows the originator's work.
Yeah.
She used it to also create a Kickstarter campaign, right? So she's actually getting funding and making money off
of it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here. So, yes, as we've stated...
Someone's giving her money?
Yeah.
Wow.
The original goal was $6,000. She got over $160,000.
Who is giving her money and why?
Well, here's the thing.
Let's not speculate on that for the moment.
I can speculate on it in like a minute.
Sure.
Before she started her series of videos, the basic idea of what she was doing is a great idea, and people didn't know who she was. So if somebody said, I have a Kickstarter, I'm a feminist, I want to create a series of videos really bringing attention to a serious issue in the game industry, which it is, a lot of people would look at that and go, hell yeah, I want to donate some money to that. Absolutely. And, you know, and I don't disagree with that. But then she actually started putting out the videos and people are going, what the hell is this?
They had
and
buyer's
that's
remorse.
The problem where we are now.
Can
they
I get my money
remorse.
Back?
Yeah. Buyer's remorse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you were saying, please continue.
Okay. So, yeah, we were kind of getting a little ahead of ourselves here. So basically what wound up happening is that she went ahead and took a specific drawing, a fan drawing, of a character from Dragon's Lair that was a Princess Daphne that, you know, quick background was something that was drawn by Don Bluth. And she wound up trying
speaking
to
of
use...
Speaking of animation.
Yeah, speaking of animation.
Yeah.
She went ahead and took that that fan drawing that someone did, Cow Kitty, I believe her name is.
Yeah.
And put it onto her banner, and as Span here was stating... outright just cropped the entire thing, so the original artist, you know, you couldn't see the watermark or the credit whatsoever, and she just didn't outright credit the person at all.
Yeah.
And she's actually been cited to do this on numerous other occasions with different people's YouTube Let's Plays. With most of her videos, she takes, like, you'll see, like, her putting in, like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm kind of blinking at the moment. But she takes screen caps even, like just scenes from video games into her videos to try and prove whatever point that she has.
That
but here
is a really important question.
Hmm?
That raises a really important question. If all of her videos are just collections of clips that she took from people's Let's Play videos, by the way, without
where's the money going?
Without permission or credit, where is this $160,000 in research and whatnot going? Because here's the thing. She says that she bought like over 300 games that she could play for research, but if she's just going straight to YouTube and pulling clips, what's going on?
There was a tweet. I can't say it, but it said that she like bought like $1,000 shoes or something like that.
That was fake. That was completely debunked.
That was fake.
That was a very feminist thing for her to do, okay?
That was a Photoshop. So in her defense, that was not true.
Okay, that was not
true. I didn't look into it. That's why I was saying
I'm kidding, guys. No, I'm sure she didn't.
If you do want to talk tweets really quick, at one point, like when she was starting this campaign, somebody asked her, you know, on Twitter, like, what are some of your favorite games? She responded, you know, well, I like this game and this game and this game. These are some of my favorite games of all time. And then like almost a year later, she makes a tweet talking about current games that she's playing for her research. And she goes, yeah, I just started playing this game for the first time. I hope I like it. And somebody's like, wait a minute, didn't you say that was, like, one of your favorite games of all time? She deleted the entire quote tree.
Oh, don't even forget about that, or don't even forget about the thing where she went to a college Q&A session. And when someone asked her about, you know, like, her background, I don't know the exact...
I gotta say, this is years before her Kickstarter, though.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things, like, I don't recall the question offhand or anything, but her initial answer was stating that she has never actually played a video game in her life. Until...
Oh, no, it wasn't that extreme. She just basically said, I'm not a gamer, I don't like games, you know, and
yeah.
Principally okay. Because of the way that women are depicted in them.
Sure. And you know what? Hey, thank you for that correction right there. And it just kind of worries me that someone like this is actually considered to be a very influential person within the gaming industry, despite having absolutely no real background within gaming.
Not only no real background, but lying about having a background.
And also going as far to just outright steal other people's materials to try and prove your extremist points. Now, a bit of a happy news that has happened as of recent. In fact, 2 days ago, CalKitty actually tweeted that after a while of trying to get Anita to take off the picture, it was a success. Because I'm trying to recall the exact story off the top of my head right now.
She got, a cease and desist order or something
like
that.
And that's what it took.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially
it goes to show just how respectful and honest of a person Anita is when it takes a cease and desist to get her to even look in your direction.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She even, I think, tried to quote fair use policy in completely the wrong way. And I've seen a lot of her fans defend her saying, CalKitty has no right to say who can and can't use her artwork, even though in the law she technically doesn't have a copyright for the character, but she does have the trademark for the art she did herself.
Mm-hmm.
If she did try to make a copyright claim, then the original company can step in, but until the original company stepping and saying that we want the rights to this, there's nothing that it's in the hands of the original the artist.
Yeah.
Hey,
and
Doc, you want to talk about LLC and for-profit, non-profit thing?
Yeah, I'll briefly touch on that myself, actually, is that one of the things that was during this whole kerfuffle. I like using that word. What can I say? Kerfuffle. I think that stands for it.
Sounds soft and fuzzy.
Perhaps.
I liked the term shenanigans.
Shenanigans, all right. Well, uh-huh. During this entire bit of shenaniganry that was going on is Anita, or I don't even know if it was necessarily Anita or just whoever she's working with, because at this point I think Anita sort of has a bit of a company of her own at this point, I think. Don't quote me on
she
that.
She might have handlers for all we know.
Okay.
Hmm.
It's possible.
Hey, that is a very misogynistic term.
Politicians have handlers. Male politicians have handlers.
But one of the things she wanted to try to claim, actually, during this whole damn thing, was she was trying to say that, she's a nonprofit organization, so, you know, she has every right to, again, as Seawall was stating earlier, that she has
misquoting laws.
Yes, misquoting laws and trying to state that she has every right because she's a nonprofit organization. Well, thankfully, CalKitty was smart to catch on to this and straight up ask for the credentials. Which
specifically, what is it, a 503 parentheses 3 or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
It's a specific document from the IRS that says, yes, they are a nonprofit company. They have nonprofit status in our eyes.
And her specific statement was, you know what, I don't dislike you or your cause. As a matter of fact, I would like to support it. You can use my art if you can prove you're a nonprofit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she gave her permission to use it if...
Under conditions.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you know what, hey, it's a small little victory step, especially when it comes down to the issues of people having their, you know, artwork stolen. I feel it's a great movement. Especially
their content stolen, not their...
Or their content, yes.
Yeah, content is the better term, because some people might go like, Let's Plays aren't art.
Okay,
some
yeah, you know what, exactly. And yeah. You know what, in that sense, I'm actually kind of glad that this issue was kind of resolved, and... You know, well done, CalKitty. Well done for accomplishing such a thing. Now,
or one for the little guy.
Yes, exactly. Or one for the little guy. And you know what? Quite frankly, I kind of have to look at Anita and just really...
Her cause has a few points, but she is a little bit
mm-hmm.
scummy.
I'm not even sure if that jingle played right now. I was trying to play the jingle. I'll try it one more time.
That's a whole load of ass.
Well, there it went.
There it went that time. And you know what, hey. Stephanie, welcome back, and hey, another special thanks to Don for sending in a set jingle. Anyway, folks, we're going to go ahead and start wrapping things up right now. Basically, if you guys want to follow us and just kind of keep in contact with the show after the show, hit us up on our Twitter at GoodGames1 or even our Facebook page. Just look up the Good Game Guys. Also, coming up pretty soon, there is going to be a fashion show coming up. Personally, I'm not too big on it myself, but hey, maybe someone out there is. It's called the Hot Topic Fashion Show, hosted by Ramona Miller, that will be taking place in... I swear to God, I had this set up earlier.
Live, everybody!
Yes, exactly. It's not live unless your son's screwed up. Oh, all the way in... Pretty close to Chicago, I believe. I need to... Tingley Park.
Tingley Park.
I'm
sorry, I'm sorry.
Tingle Park.
That's like not a good area for children.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Seriously. Oh, man, I had a little too much rum in me right now.
Wow.
But hey, make sure to head your way over to the Easy Way Broadcasting website where we host all of our content, and make sure to click a link right there if you're interested to participate in the Hot Topic Fashion Show.
Stay tuned this Friday. I'll be over in Hollywood doing Easy Talk Live. You can also tune into that Friday at 8 on EasyWayBroadcasting.com.
Exactly. And hey, fans, if you also have like a little intro or jingle that you guys would like to submit to us, please, by all means, we will look them over and we will possibly introduce and give you the proper credit that you deserve.
And stay tuned next week, ladies and gentlemen, to find out just how bad I devastated Seawall's pathetic little ship.
Not only that, but as a fine little sneak peek to next week's conversation, I think we're going to have to actually go ahead and start relooking our stances into the free-to-play market.
Yeah, definitely will.
Yes, with that said. Anyway.
There's a stance?
Yeah, somewhere.
Some free-to-play is awesome, other is pay-to-win and needs to go away.
That's the short version. You know what? That's the short version, but next week we'll probably bring ourselves a little bit of a better version. In fact, I'd like to... I don't want to jinx anything just yet. But we should possibly have ourselves a special guest host that can actually chime into the situation. With that said, I'd like to give a special thanks out to our friends over at the Games for Us. Also, I'll even give a special thanks out to a personal friend at this point, Mr. Lord Cat, who we've been hanging out with for quite some time. And if you guys want to check him out on Twitch TV at Lord Cat. Was it live?
Well, it's recommended that you go directly to his site, which is lordcat.com, and check out live.lordcat.com, where there is an IRC chat room client, so you can interact with the community and Lordcat himself.
There you go, folks. And what, you can see me just jumping in there a couple times playing any game that he's on, whether it be Payday 2 or TF2. Anyway.
That Lord, like God? Lordcat.com?
Lordcat. LORDKA.com, and you'll find everything there. It's everything from tabletop gaming
and that's why
to
I asked.
MMOs.
Right on. So, with that said, this is the Good Game Guys.
And the Good Game Gal.
And the Good Game Gal.
Signing off. Good game, guys.
Good game.
Good night, guys.
GG.
QQ. Seawall, I want you.